Noam was born December 7th, 1928 in Philadelphia. By the age of 10, he was writing an extended essay against fascism and about the Spanish Civil War. Don't be discouraged. At 14, he was getting his education, as he tells it, in the back of the 72nd Street subway station here in New York. You go out the front, that's where you go buy newspapers, in the front newspaper stand where people would rush by, buy their papers and go. But it was the back, less populated stand where the stragglers would be, where his uncle ran that newspaper stand. And they would sit and debate and discuss politics. That's where Noam says he was getting his education. I hear that they just opened the back again about 4 years ago, the south side of the 72nd Street subway station, but I understand they removed the newspaper stand. Maybe they're a little concerned about some young Chomskys getting educated for the future. Well, within 2 years, that education clearly got him far, because at 16, he was at the University of Pennsylvania. He went on to be to the Harvard Society of Fellows, where he continued his research into linguistics. By 1953, Chomsky had broken almost entirely from the field as it existed. He became a professor at the University of Massachusetts, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, in 1955 at the age of 26. I forgot to say he'd already gotten his PhD again at the University of Pennsylvania. And while he broke ground as a world-renowned linguist, shattering all previous paradigms in linguistics, in a world I know very little about, he was also taking on the war in Vietnam. So much so that his lifetime partner, his wife, Carol, went back to school to get her graduate degree in linguistics so that she could be, if need be, the breadwinner if Noam was imprisoned. That's how she described it. She went on to be a professor at the Harvard Graduate School of Education of Linguistics and also broke ground on child language acquisition. Noam and Carol have known each other since I think he was three. And he only lost Carol a few months ago. This lifetime partnership, a great model for relationships. His personal life, also a model for all of us of what it means to live a life of integrity. On Democracy Now!, we have interviewed Noam many times. And I think about 2002. It was around midnight. It was May 20th. Journalist Alan Nairn and I were in East Timor. It was a momentous time. After a quarter of a century of slaughter, of genocide, the people of East Timor were celebrating their freedom, those who had survived. The Indonesian military had killed off a third of the population. And I remember that night clearly as Kofi Annan and then UN Secretary General took the stage as they were handing over the power from the United Nations to the people of East Timor and then Xanana Gusmao, the rebel leader of East Timor, the founding president of East Timor, ascended to the podium and unfurled the flag of the Democratic Republic of East Timor. The light of the fireworks was reflected in the tear-stained faces of the people of Timor. They had resisted and they had won at an unbelievably high price, but they had won. We were broadcasting this historic moment over the airwaves of Pacifica Radio throughout the United States. And at that moment, we called Noam, because it was Noam Chomsky, since 1975, actually on his birthday, on December 7th, when Indonesia invaded East Timor, who never let this story die. In so many of his books, so much of his writings, so many of his speeches, often introducing to people this point on a map so many thousand miles from us, and he let people know what was happening in your name. It was Noam who told us about what was happening in Timor and led us to take those trips to try to expose what was happening. And I bet almost everyone here tonight in this sanctuary has a story about discovering Noam's writings or his voice or his words and how it has changed your life. When I am most affected as I travel the country are the young soldiers who come up to me. And when I ask them what made the difference, why they turned, why they could be, how they could be so brave and courageous and resisting war, so often these young men and women will say, someone handed me a book of Noam Chomsky. Arundhati Roy said something wonderful about Noam in her book, War Talk. Arundhati Roy, who spoke here in May of 2003. She has a chapter, The Loneliness of Noam Chomsky, where she writes, "When I first read Noam Chomsky, it occurred to me that his marshaling of evidence, the volume of it, the relentlessness of it, was a little, how shall I put it, insane. Even a quarter of the evidence he'd compiled would have been enough to convince me. I used to wonder why he needed to do so much work. But now I understand that the magnitude and intensity of Chomsky's work is a barometer of the magnitude, scope, and relentlessness of the propaganda machine that he's up against. He's like the wood borer who lives inside the third rack of my bookshelf. Day and night, I hear his jaws crunching through the wood, grinding it to fine dust. It's as though he disagrees with the literature and wants to destroy the very structure on which it rests. I call him Chomsky. Being an American, working in America, writing to convince Americans of his point of view must really be like having to tunnel through hard wood. Chomsky is one of a small band of individuals fighting a whole industry, and that makes him not only brilliant, but heroic." His work, so prolific, his personal support for so many, so important. Just this afternoon, Norm Finkelstein was telling me how he had visited Noam one summer at the beginning, went away, came back at the end, and Noam had already written two books. And so he said to a friend, "Noam just finished two books." And his friend said, "So I read two books this summer too." He said, "No, but he wrote them." And I think of calling Noam Chomsky in Turkey. It was February of 2002. He had not just gone there to speak, but to stand with a young publisher named Fatih Tas, who was facing years in prison for publishing Noam Chomsky's work. I called Noam to interview him before he went to court, not knowing what would happen to him as well. When I rang him up, he answered the phone and he said, "Amy, do you know what time it is?" I thought I had calculated correctly. He said, "It's 4 a.m. I said, "I can call you back." He said, "No, I'm up now. Let's talk." But it's that bravery, that courage, Noam's resistance to the war in Vietnam and his writing about the wars in Vietnam, the death squads in Latin America, what happened to Vietnam and Cambodia, what is happening today in Israel and Palestine, his opposition to the wars in Iraq, his relentlessness that is such an inspiration to us all. I think, looking at The Essential Chomsky, edited by Anthony Arnov, this bookcase that is on the cover is filled with Noam Chomsky's books. He's written over 100 of them. And it's not just writing, because when he explodes the lies, he is saving lives, because the lies take lives. I don't know who said this quote, but someone once said, "I think back on my life at all the times I thought I went too far, and I realize now I didn't go far enough." Well, I think Noam Chomsky has clearly gone the distance. And as we celebrate his 80 years, I am encouraged by a woman who told me about celebrating her grandmother's 106th birthday. And her grandmother stood up at her party and said, "Ah, to be 100 again." We look forward to hearing Noam Chomsky for many years to come, beginning with tonight. Noam Chomsky.